You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach talking to Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. Ian, let's start with the health updates. Got a couple of guys with what seem to be minor injuries. How are Xander Bogaerts and Pablo Sandoval?
Yeah, fortunately, Bogaerts is okay, and he was really the one that they were a little concerned about. I mean, they were concerned enough with Bogaerts' knee that they had him get an MRI when he had some swelling after their home opener. Everything came out fine, clean, made a quick two, only missed one game, and Sandoval got hit in the foot. That was a little bit of a scare when you see the big man crumple to the ground there for a second, but he bounced back well also, and is he's a full go, so I couldn't have asked for anything better considering the scare they had earlier in the week.
We seem to talk about him every week, but he seems to take a different turn every week. Clay Buchholz followed a really encouraging first start with a not very encouraging second start. I know we don't want to overreact to things in April, but with that said, this was exactly what they didn't want to see, was following up a good one with a bad one and bringing up those worries of inconsistency. What did you see from Buchholz in his second start, and was it at all worrisome?
Yeah, it was a little worrisome in the sense that, you know, once things started to go wrong for Buchholz at Yankee Stadium, he couldn't stop the bleeding. And you'd like to think that he's at the point now where, and that's what we talked about a little bit in spring training, where he can see some bumps in the road and sort of minimize the damage. And giving up 7 runs in the first inning, you know, certainly isn't minimizing the damage. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen after the game, you know, Buchholz just to be a little more like, you know, I stunk. But instead it was kind of like, you know, I got unlucky, some bad breaks here or there. I just think it might be good for him to sort of confront it a little more head on than to just try to chalk it up as bad luck.
And likewise, Justin Masterson followed a good one with a rough one. Again, we're kind of left with nothing but overreacting because it's the middle of April. But, you know, Masterson, I think, is a guy that probably is going to be watched awfully closely because he's coming off a bad year. He might be the guy that might be kind of first on the chopping block once one of the starters are ready, one of the kid starters are ready. What did you see from him in his second start, and how closely is he being watched? I'm sure he's not on a short leash now, but is it fair to say he might be the first guy to be on a short leash at some point?
Yeah, maybe at some point, but I think they honestly feel pretty good about where Masterson is headed. He pitched a really good first game in Philadelphia, and then against the Nationals, you know, he was pretty good for the first few innings there, and then just seemed to run out of gas, and, you know, things kind of sped up on him there. But, you know, the good sign to me is, you know, Masterson had a few fastballs in that game against the Nationals that were at 95 miles an hour, which is clear, you know, he was throwing a couple years ago when he was so good. So I just think they still feel that he's getting it back a little bit after such a disjointed year last year, where maybe, you know, some of his mechanics got screwed up a little bit. But yeah, I think they're actually, despite, you know, one bad inning he's had so far, I think they're actually pretty encouraged by where he's headed right now.
Okay, that's already too much negative about a team that has looked really impressive so far. If there's one thing that it comes down to that they've been so successful early, what would be one thing you would point to?
Well, I think that they are really grinding pitchers into the ground. And, you know, I saw a stat that, you know, through the first, through the first 8 games of the season that, you know, Aaron Harang is the only guy who had pitched, you know, into the 6th inning against the Red Sox this season. And that's just a sign that their offense is really grinding out every at-bat. And that's always what the Red Sox have done when they've been good, is just, you know, grind pitchers into the ground a little bit. And they've done that so far this year.
Is this offense essentially kind of what people expected? I mean, it seems like that's sort of what they thought they had, was, as much as anything else, an offense that goes 9 deep.
Yeah, not only is this offense pretty good 1 through 9, but really you can go down to 3 guys on the bench there with, you know, with Brock Holt and with Daniel Nava and with Alan Craig. I mean, a lot of teams would love to have 3 guys like that sitting around on the bench. You saw the game at Yankee Stadium last week where the Red Sox decided, hey, let's sit our entire starting outfield today. And, you know, Craig, Nava, and Holt all played the outfield and all helped them win that game. So they're pretty excited about what they could do as an offense this year.
We're all kind of freaking out about Mookie Betts, and with good reason. He has a fun name. He's a fun player to watch. He's got some tools. How good do you think he really is this year? I mean, we're probably not talking MVP for this guy. Do you think he's a star player at the end of this year? Do you think he's a good player at the end of this year? Putting aside the long term, what do you think at the end of this year we're looking at as the kind of player Mookie Betts is in 2015?
Yeah, I think we're looking at about a guy who can hit about 280 with 10 to 15 homers, you know, driving 60 to 65 runs, score. You know, he's going to score 100 in this lineup. He's going to play good defense. He's probably going to steal 30 bases. So you're looking at a pretty good player. I don't know. I think eventually he could become a great player. I mean, when you hear David Ortiz say the other day, like, Mookie Betts is going to be a superstar. You know, it kind of says something. But, I think you don't want to expect too much too soon coming out of that for Mookie. But I think he's definitely in position to have a very solid year this year.
It sounds to me like you just described early career Jacoby Ellsbury. I realize they're not the same player. But is there something of a parallel there?
Yeah, no, it's a great comparison. I do think that there's a lot of similarity there between Betts and Ellsbury, given the skill set. I think that Mookie's a little more charismatic, a little more fun to watch in a way than Ellsbury, but definitely numbers wise, if he could do what Jacoby Ellsbury did to the team for a long time and stay healthy, they'd be very happy with what they have in Mookie Betts. The exciting thing is still that he's 22 years old with a limited amount of experience, and already he's showing us some of the things he's showing, and he really, the thing that continues to impress me is he hits the pitcher's pitch. He's always on time hitting, and that's the guy who trends to be a good player.
He clearly has the tools to be a really good center fielder. He doesn't have much experience there. To your eye, just watching him now, I mean, obviously he is a spectacular center fielder. I mean, in that he makes the spectacular play.
Yeah.
Do you think he is a plus overall center fielder right now? And where do you think he? What kind of development do you think he has as a defensive player at a relatively new position?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the guy who made the play he did on Bryce Harper with only a year of experience in the outfield. I mean, that's pretty special. But at the same time, he's still learning too. Where he's, he made an over-aggressive throw at Yankee Stadium the other night that might have cost him a run. So still learning little nuances like that. But, yeah, I mean, right now he already has plus range. Yeah, he has a pretty good arm. And, he's only going to get better out there. But, eventually I think he could become a gold glove type guy. But right now he's, from what I see every day, he's definitely plus out there in center.
For a team that was already going pretty well, it was nice to be able to add Koji Uehara quickly. Did he look like he always looked in his first big league game back?
Right, except for one. Koji made one bad pitch that he said he just didn't get any power behind, and that was the one that Ryan Zimmerman very, very nearly hit over the wall to tie the game and ended up going foul. But I saw some really good splitters from Koji, the kind that he lacked at the end of last year, the kind that Red Sox fans were used to in 2013 in the first 3-4 months of 2014. I mean, he made Bryce Harper look really bad on a splitter. So very encouraging sign with Koji in his first game back. You just hope that he's 40 years old. You hope his health holds up over the full season. Maybe down the long run, these couple weeks he missed it, this week or so he missed at the beginning of the season, maybe that will help him because, he saved a few bullets for the end.
I know we already talked about this, but I kind of want to revisit it now that he is actually back and this is a real question that will be answered on a day-to-day basis. How gingerly are they going to handle him as far as frequency of use and kind of whether they might look even to other options in the ninth if they've used him a good bit recently?
Yeah, I think they're really going to pick their spots with Koji this year, realizing that you can't run this guy into the ground, and you want to preserve him as best you can. I mean, will he pitch back-to-back days with a one-run lead? I'm sure he will. But will they try to avoid pitching 3 days in a row? Yeah, I think they're going to try to avoid that for the most part. But they'll just do their best to monitor it as it goes, see how he's responding. But, yeah, really be conscious of conserving this guy because he's really important to this team over the long haul.
All right, well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.